Welcome to this daily PBJ devotional. This devotional is about Galatians 2. 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem, accompanied by Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation and set before them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. But I spoke privately to those recognized as leaders, for fear that I was running or had already run in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. The issue arose because some false brothers had come in under false pretenses to spy on our freedom in Christ Jesus, in order to enslave us. We did not give in to them for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you. But as for the highly esteemed, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not show favoritism. Those leaders added nothing to me. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted to preach the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised. For the one who was at work in Peter's apostleship to the circumcised was also at work in my apostleship to the Gentiles. And recognizing the grace that I had been given, James, Cephas, and John, those reputed to be pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, so that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. They only asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. When Cephas came to Antioch, however, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself, for fear of those in the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not walking in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, "If you, who are a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews? We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified in Christ, we ourselves are found to be sinners, does that make Christ a minister of sin? Certainly not. If I rebuild what I have already torn down, I prove myself to be a lawbreaker. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing." This is God's Word. In our earlier readings from Acts, we noted the tensions that began when God saved Gentiles and gave them the same spiritual status as the Jewish believers in Jesus had. Here in the book of Galatians, Paul urged the churches he started in this region not to succumb to the teaching of the Judaizers. Now, the Judaizers was a group of people who claimed faith in Jesus, but also insisted that all Christians conform to Jewish law. Here in Galatians 2, Paul recounted his own firsthand struggle as a Christian against the idea that Christians must obey the law. Peter recognized Paul as a genuine believer, as we saw in verse 9b. And Peter and other apostles also recognized the commission of Christ to Paul to take the gospel to the Gentiles. We saw that in verse 7 and verse 9c. Yet Peter himself failed at times to live, and this is a quote from verse 14b, in line with the truth of the gospel. And again, that's verse 14b in the NIV. Sometimes Peter acted as if his Jewish background didn't matter. So he blended right in with the Gentile believers, as we saw in verse 12a. But when there were Jewish believers around, Peter feared their disapproval and segregated himself from the Gentiles, as we saw in verse 12b. That was hypocrisy, as verse 13a says, and Paul spoke directly to Peter about it. The point of this chapter is to emphasize the implications of the gospel. If Jesus really has fulfilled the law of God, and if we are justified simply by believing in him, then it is wrong to add any religious or moral works as requirements for salvation. But a secondary lesson in this chapter has to do with Peter's hypocrisy. Despite how much Jesus loved Peter, taught Peter, and entrusted to Peter as an apostle, Peter was still human. He was still vulnerable to fear and to the opinions of others, and therefore still susceptible to hypocrisy. Yet despite his status as an apostle, Peter had the humility to receive Paul's correction. Let none of us, then, think that we are above or beyond the correcting power of truth. We remain sinners until Jesus glorifies us finally. So let's be ready to accept correction and grow from it when we are corrected with the truth. If you found this devotional helpful, go to my website, dailypbj.com/subscribe, and enter your email address there to be subscribed to my daily devotionals by email. This is completely free, and you can always unsubscribe, so give it a try. Go to dailypbj.com/subscribe. And if you can help me with financial support, go to dailypbj.com/support. Please share this with someone else, and I'll see you next time. May God bless you. Hope you have a great day today.